What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
This is 105.7 The Fan's Destination New Orleans.
Brought to you by Dash In.
All the news and insight from the playoff journey. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Featured artist Friday. Road to New Orleans continues on for the Ravens Sunday in Buffalo against the Bills. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Let's get to it. Break it down as only he can. He's with the Baltimore Banner. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Welcome back to the show. Joins us every Friday, Jonas Schaefer. Jonas, first of all, good morning.
Morning, fellas. How's it going?
Good. Doing all right. Secondly, get a health update. Zay Flowers hasn't practiced in quite some time. I know there's some interweb rumors or whispers, I guess, that could possibly play. What are you feeling here? Zay Flowers up or down coming up Sunday against the Bills?
Not feeling good about him being up, so I think it's going to be down. It's tough to come back and play in a game as important as this. If you've been dealing with a knee injury, you know, it's just the old Harbaugh credo of if you don't practice, it's tough to play. And I think the fact that Harbaugh said so early in the week that there's a chance that Zay could play even if he doesn't practice was a pretty good insight into just how unlikely it was that he was actually going to return to practice. So, you know, we may not get the premature rollout or not like the early rule out from John Harbaugh like we did last week at his Friday presser, you know, but even if he's on the injury report as doubtful, I still think it is highly, highly unlikely that they're going to roll him out there, especially in this kind of weather.
Hey, Jonas, what do you think Buffalo is going to do differently to stop the run? That's my biggest question. That's what I can't wait to see Sunday night.
Yeah, I have no clue. I was looking into some of the stats, and basically, since Taron Johnson came back into the lineup, they played, you know, nickel and dime exclusively. Mm-hmm. The only, you know, an instance of the one time that they kind of diverged was that big shootout against the Detroit Lions, and the only times when Johnson, who is, you know, for people who don't know, this incredible run defender from the slot, when they took him off the field, was there were several times when the Lions went big with Dan Skipper as their sixth offensive lineman. And then there was another time when they had three tight ends on the field, and I think that was also maybe a goal line situation. So we saw what the Ravens lean into, that six offensive lineman look on Saturday against Pittsburgh. Maybe that's a way to force Buffalo's hand and take probably their most important defender off the field. Maybe having Patrick Ricard and Charlie Kohler and, you know, Isaiah Likely on the field is enough beef to get them to do things that they're not comfortable doing. But, I mean, honestly, they're just going to have to be a run defense that is as aggressive as it usually is and just hope that those gaps that they're shooting, those run blitzes that they're making, are well-timed enough to kind of knock the Ravens off script and then force them into these third and long situations, which are obviously going to be a lot tougher without Zay. But even then, you know, if you're an optimistic Ravens fan, and I think you should be, like this Buffalo defense toward the end of the year was one of the worst third-down defenses in the NFL. So even if the Ravens can't establish the run on first and second down, and even though the Ravens don't have, Zay Flowers to kind of take the top off, I still think that they should be feeling pretty good about themselves in those late down scenarios.
Yeah, the thing about it too, Jonas, is game four, when they played the last time, Zay had one catch. You know, the receivers weren't heavily involved. The running backs had nine. You know, so there was screen passes and, you know, Justice Hill caught the out and up for the touchdown and stuff. So I can see something similar. Oh, and I could see, too, if they put three linebackers on the field, then I can see a lot of play action pass coming into play.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they did so effectively in week four. I mean, I think obviously if Buffalo responds with three linebackers, then that is something to watch. But I was looking into some of the pre-draft, you know, analytics for Milano, Bernard. So in Derrick Henry at, you know, 250 pounds or whatever he is, he's like a 98th percentile weight. You want to guess what Bernard and Milano are for off-ball linebackers?
Well, they're like 222 they weigh. So, I mean, whatever it is, they're at the third and yeah,
exact opposite end of the spectrum. They're the third and fourth percentile for off-ball linebackers. So they are obviously both quite good players. Milano's play has stabilized the past few weeks. Bernard obviously led the team in tackles last year. But then, you know, even if you are counting on Teron Johnson to be that, you know, third down, or the student that third linebacker as the kind of apex defender, he's still only 192 pounds. I know he plays a lot bigger than that, but that is a lot to ask when you are going up against a 300-pounder Patrick Ricard, a 270-pounder in Charlie Kohler, and then 250-pounders in Isaiah Likely and Mark Andrews. You know, none of them are real road graders, especially as inline blockers. But when those guys get in space, they've been able to pump people on their butts, and I think that's going to be, that's, you know, like you said, Vinny, that's the most fascinating matchup of this game, if not the entire playoffs.
Hey, Jonas, I mean, in over the last few weeks, prior to the last couple, you know, all we asked you was, well, you know, how do you feel about Justin Tucker? Now, Justin Tucker, you know, I feel good about him, 23 in a row kicks. How do you feel about Brandon Stevens?
Let's get back to Justin Tucker.
I don't feel great. And Vinny, the kind of surprising thing to me when I looked back at the snap counts from the Pittsburgh game was, you know, Pittsburgh, obviously, they went into some personnel at times that forced the Ravens to match with base personnel. And I thought that because of Brandon's struggles, that it would be Marlon on one side, Brandon on the other. Nate Wiggins on the other. But in fact, Brandon Stevens was the only cornerback who played 100% of the snaps. And I think some of that was a level of respect for his run defense. And I think that could also be a factor in this one. You know, Mac Hollins is an incredible run blocker. We know how they like to get linemen into space. We know how much they like to establish the run on early downs. Nate Wiggins, for as far as he's come this year, is still a guy who looks like a mannequin at times when he's playing out there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Ravens have always preached the importance of stopping the run. So I guess even though Buffalo maybe more than like any other AFC team in the playoffs is prepared to line up in 12 personnel, 21 personnel, they've been leaning into a lot more sets with Reggie Gilliam. That might not mean that, as I maybe think the Ravens should respond, that they will do what I think is the smart thing and take Brandon Stevens off the field. I think it might be more Marlon Humphrey, more Brandon Stevens, less Nate Wiggins, which is definitely an interesting card to play.
Jonas Schaefer, Baltimore Banner, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Ravens go to Buffalo Sunday, favorites against the team that's counting the playoffs 9-0 at home. Two MVP candidates. We talk about the running backs and the fullback addition. Well, actually, how they're important to the offense. And, you know, Buffalo's got some guys that can catch the ball, too. Yeah. The over-under's 51.5, and we're not asking you this, Jonas, from a gambling perspective, but the hype has been immense. We're going to continue to do it. You guys have been writing about it at the Baltimore Banner. Is the game going to live up to the pre-fight hype, sort of boxing analogy there?
I'm predicting a close game. I'm predicting a close Bills win. So even though I think in a vacuum the Ravens are the better team, I think it could be ugly at times. My prediction is right, like almost on the button for that over under. I do think it'll be close, but I just wonder, you know, how much the crowd noise, how much the weather is going to be a mitigating factor for this Ravens offense. You know, are there going to be mesh point problems with how much we've seen the Ravens run into the read option? Are there going to be pre-snap communication issues where, you know, Daniel Faalele is getting out of his set a half second too late because he can't hear the snap count or he didn't hear the audible to what the play was going to be? I think that's going to be a real concern. I mean, this game is kicking off, you know, at 6:30 on Sunday night after a day full of tailgating for a fan base that can be legitimately crazy. And I think that can't be overlooked. So I think the Ravens, obviously, I don't think they're going to win by 25. I think they could win pretty decisively. I feel more confident in them being able to win decisively than the Bills. But I think based on everything that we've seen, based on the Ravens being able to stop the run, based on the Bills having maybe the intangibles in their factor, I think this might not be as clean a game on the Ravens side and maybe even the Bills side in week four.
Well, you got Nolan running hot. He's already running hot. Nolan McGraw's running hot because everyone we've had on, including local reporters, are picking the Bills to win this game. Don't worry, Jonas. We'll be drinking a purple Kool-Aid later, if you know what I'm saying. Hey, Jonas Schaefer, Baltimore Banner. Appreciate the time. Be safe up to Buffalo. Stay warm. We'll talk to you next week, hopefully, about the Ravens either going to Arrowhead or the Texans coming to Baltimore.
Thanks, guys. And I should point out for the record, I'm the only Banner writer in our predictions that went up today to pick the Bills. So I felt like I was in the minority, but I guess not.
Yeah. Well, and next time we'll also talk about Maryland's inability to defend the leading score for Northwestern 1.7 seconds. Anyway, Jonas Schaefer, have a great weekend. Talk to
you soon. Thanks,
Jonas. Thanks, guys.
There's Jonas Schaefer, buddy. It's Vinny at Haiti 105.7 The Fan. We'll vent about the Terps 11:30 with Keith Cavanaugh. But coming up next, whip around what happened in the world of sports last night. Ovi's creeping closer to Gretzky, game winner at that, with Stink, and they got stunk up again last night downtown. We'll talk about the local kids in the NBA, buzzer beater outside of Maryland in the Big Ten as well. In this day in sports history, January 17th, a world championship came to Baltimore in the way of the NFL.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Oh.
Vinny and Hades whip.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County.
105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Hades, 105.7 The Fan here on this Featured Artist Friday. Bobby Brown slash New Edition. Anything you want to hear from him? Song request, applause for text line. It's also a playoff Friday. Ravens favorites at Buffalo. 1 point, so it could go either way. If the game was in Baltimore, which it isn't, Ravens probably be 4, I'm guessing, the line.
Yeah.
The home favorites. But hey, if you're Buffalo, hey, we're undefeated at home. We're the number 2 seed. We're underdogs. Any extra motivation? There you go. Been a lot of ELE coming out of both sides, though. Everybody love everybody. We'll play those cuts as the show rolls on. College football championship game, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Monday, 7:30. In Atlanta, Notre Dame still 8-point dogs, and we have a special guest joining us on
Monday. Yeah, Ricky Waters coming on at 1:30, and he was on national championship team in last time Notre Dame won it in 88. And Ricky's from Harrisburg, Bishop McDevitt High School.
So we'll get into all of that good stuff coming up on Monday. Stay tuned for that. And we got the college basketball. Maryland loses at the buzzer. We'll talk about it with Keith. Keith Cavanaugh, TerrapinTimes.com in a few minutes. But also, remember Minnesota came into town on Monday, gave the Terps all they could handle, and then some. Maryland pulled it out because they win at home. Kind of what they do. Last night, Minnesota at home. A team that's been finding ways to lose. Yeah. Well, last night against number 20 Michigan, they finally found a way to win.
Minnesota, no timeouts. Patterson bumped. We play on. It's Garcia. Lets it go for the win. Dawson Garcia. Bottom. Ball game. Gophers. Walk it off.
FS1 on the call. Dawson Garcia, who gave the Maryland Terps the blues the other night. 40-footer. From the M, right, longer than that, drills it, top of the key-ish, as Minnesota beats Michigan in overtime, 84-81. So, I mean, they were a tough luck team and finally broke through, so congratulations to them. And I guess, Nolan, this helps Maryland, as Minnesota helps their status by beating a ranked team. So there you go.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
Reaching. I know I'm reaching. Just trying to keep the positivity flowing here a couple days from Baltimore. Buffalo. Rutgers beat Nebraska 85-82. Nebraska coming to Maryland Sunday at 12. They've lost three in a row. If this was in Nebraska, I'd be worried.
Yeah.
But it's at College Park, and I would assume Maryland will handle their business. But don't look now. Rutgers starting to get it together with their two, Harper and Bailey, their two stud freshmen who are projected to be top five picks in the top 25. Upsets. Oregon State in overtime over number 16 Gonzaga, 97-89. It was Temple 88-81 over number 18 Memphis. Locally, Coppin State got by Cheney of Pennsylvania, 88-62. New Hampshire beat UMBC 79-76. And Towson beat Hofstra 65-60. So conference play abound, except for Coppin, of course, in college basketball there. NHL last night. We talk about overtimes where Maryland lost, but the Caps getting a win.
2-on-1 with Ovechkin. Ovechkin fires. He scores! Alex Ovechkin, an overtime hero in Ottawa.
Ovi.
Yeah, Ovi. Ovi won it in overtime. It was a 2-on-1. And, Bob, the game was 0-0. There was a throughout. 0-0 the whole game. Went to overtime 0-0. And Logan Thompson was the star of the game, the goalie for the Caps. He is 20-2-3 this
crazy
season. He's been spectacular.
Back-to-back shutouts, right?
Yep. Only two shutouts of the season, but back-to-back shutouts. They got Pittsburgh Saturday night at home, and Pittsburgh's lost three in a row. Pittsburgh's lost three in a row. They're 2-5-3 in their last 10. Caps are 6-1-3 in their last 10, have tied for the best record in the NHL. Unbelievable. I mean, the story still, it continues. It's unbelievable how they've been playing. And their young guys, especially like Protas, McMichael, Strom, those guys, they were with Hershey Bears like for 3 years. Now they're like 25, 26, 27 years old, and they've really come into their own, and they're all, you know, producing big time for them. Protas has got like 20 goals. You know, so they made some really good moves in the offseason, and goaltending has been spectacular.
30-10-5 for the Capitals this season.
And Bob and Logan Thompson's played 25 of the 30 games.
It's 88-81-057 the Fan. It is the whip around here on this Featured Artist Friday. Let's do a little NBA for you down at D.C. Phoenix against the Wiz. Suns win 130-123. Devin Booker had 37. For Phoenix. Wizards stink. I mean, just look at the record, 6-33. Damian Lee, Calvert Hall for Phoenix, DNP coach's decision. Bob Carrington, Baltimore zone for the Wiz, 6 points, 4 boards, 3 assists. Oklahoma City, I was watching this game, watching Shaq and Charles yell at each other as always on Inside the NBA, but rematch of their game last week where Cleveland won. OKC Thunder all over them like a Kmart suit, with all due respect to Kmart suits, early in the game and often. 134-114. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Nolan, at 40. Aaron Wiggins at 4 points, 5 boards, 3 assists as the Thunder win. Two best teams record-wise in the NBA right now. Sacramento 132-127 over Houston. DeMar DeRozan at 33 for the Kings. Kevin Huerter at 5 off the bench. Alex Len, DNP, coach's decision, both former Terps. Ken Whitmore, Baltimore's own Villanova, 9 points, 3 boards, 3 assists for the Houston Rockets. This day in sports history, it is January 17th down at Little John, 1981. Clemson hosting the Terps. Number 10, Maryland, beats the 19th-ranked Tigers in overtime, 68-62. Albert King at 22. Ernie Graham, Baltimore, Greg Manning, 15 each. Buck Williams, 12 points, 10 boards, as Maryland gets the win there. And then on this day in 1971, 54 years ago, Orange Bowl. It was a 1 o'clock kickoff. Super Bowl V.
Wow.
Well, the ratings aren't as prolific as they are nowadays because these things are on in the afternoon. People are like, you know, washing dishes, doing laundry. But Jim O'Brien kicked a 32-yard field goal with 5 seconds left. John Unitas threw a 75-yard touchdown to John Mackey, deflected pass, which led to controversy. 16-13 was the final score. 11 turnovers in this game. This is still to this day, even though it was dramatic the way it ended, it was the closest Super Bowl up to that point, but it's considered one of the worst games ever because of the turnovers. Yeah. There are a ton of penalties. Chuck Halley had 2 picks for Dallas. He was most valuable player. To this day, the only losing player to win most valuable player of a Super Bowl. Kirk Gowdy, Kyle Root Jr., Bill Ennis were on the call for NBC. The, let's see, ratings, 46 mil, 75 share. Halftime, Nolan, the Southeast Missouri Marching Band with Anita Bryant. That was your halftime entertainment. And Anita Bryant actually just passed away not too long ago. Yeah. Remember her?
Yep.
She pimped orange juice
in
a very interesting political stance, which we never get into here on Vinny and Haney. If you want to know, Google it. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Keith Kavanaugh. He'll be joining us next. What the hell happened in Evanston? When's Maryland ever going to win on the road? Hey, in that recruiting class for Mike Loxley, 2025, looking pretty good. Or is it? From TerrapinTimes.com, joins us every Friday on the Window Nation guest hotline. Big Bobby Brown fan himself, Keith Kavanaugh. Keith, what's up?
Yeah, we were throwing some bricks through windows last night. But Bob, as the eternal optimist I am, let's start with 3 bits of good news. Lacrosse season starts in 2 weeks, and Maryland, February 1st, Maryland plays Richmond, and Notre Dame and Maryland Syracuse will be the top 3 teams in the country. Secondly, 4, if not 5-star point guard Chance Mallory from Virginia, former Virginia Cavalier commit, visits Maryland officially men's basketball this weekend. Big-time electric scorer and playmaker. And third of all, Terps football clearly needs more help on the O-line. So they got Rottrell Perry from the portal, 6'7", 323, from Central Connecticut State, another directional school, has 2 years to play. Obviously, O-line, the biggest need in the portal. You know, still need an impact because you got a guy from Central Connecticut State and a guy from Akron so far. Filled in some other spots, but they're up to 12 now, portals in. Beyond that, how was the play, Mrs. Lincoln? Because the rest is downhill.
All right, yeah, we'll get to football recruiting for 26 here in a second. But basketball, Terps on the road, bad. Numbers speak for itself. 2 bad losses. All right, you lose at home to Marquette. All right, got it. You lose on the road to Purdue, got it, even though you blew an 8-point lead. You lose on the road to Oregon when you're up 13, and you came, then you fell behind 8, came back, actually took it. Got it. Hey, they were down 10 last night in the second half, sent it into overtime. But favorites at Washington, favorites last night against Northwestern, losers up 3 in a row, shot below 40%, turnover 16. Derek Queen and the 2 losses that where they were favored on the road against Washington, and last night he scored 14 combined when he averages 17 on the year. So they're good at home, good neutral court at least so far this year. Why in the hell can't they win away from the Xfinity Center? Why did they make these guys like superstars, Keith? And now you got me running hot. And how can the leading scorer get an open look with 0.7 seconds left on the clock? Why didn't they call traveling on Barnheiser? Because it was. And why can't Julia? Never mind. What's up?
I hope you're extending this segment because it's almost over. You've been babbling so long.
I've been babbling.
Yeah, last week, sadly, I introduced you to a term. I told you to shut your ears. So put on double earmuffs now. Turge 2.0.
Oh, boy.
The inability, now you're 0-4 on the road in the Big Ten, the inability to prepare this team to play on the road, the inability to avoid these slow starts, playing down to lesser competition, getting lost on defense, basketball IQ, too much individual play, Bob and Benny. Look at Northwestern. They look like Bob Haney's 40-year and over men's rec Glen Burnie middle school team that plays at midnight at night, and they average 2.5 mullet hairdos per rotation.
Yeah, correct.
And they housed Maryland because they played like a team. Maryland has talent at all three levels. They can score in bunches. They lead the nation in double-digit scoring runs of 10-plus or more points with 23, but they cannot get mentally prepared. That's on Willard. Yeah, the players have to go out and do their thing. But now you're clearly on the bubble for the tournament because you're 0-4 on the road in the big. Now you come home Sunday to the friendly confines against Nebraska. Last year there were excuses. You were a one-man team with Jameer, and you had three busts with your freshman recruits. This year they're talent loaded. They can score at all three levels. They got bigs. They got depth. They're athletic. They can get up and down the floor. It's all mental, guys. Mental toughness. And it's a shame this season is starting to flitter away unless there's an epiphany here by coaches and players alike to get this thing turned around, because now you've got Nebraska, Illinois out on the road, Indiana on the road, Wisconsin, Ohio State again. So the schedule is going to get tougher. But these were all winnable games. And, I mean, Bob, going into that game beyond Barry, could you name one guy for Northwestern? I mean, and yeah, some the, of the...
With the mullet and the other guy with the mullet.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Terry Ford was going to come in with the mohawk next. But, you know, you're losing, and they had their starter, what's his name, Hunter, whatever.
Yeah, he had played in a couple games.
Yeah, you're playing these teams in, like, high school gyms.
Yeah, and then Ty Berry comes out looking like Steph Curry, where he's been throwing bricks. Real quick, Keith.
And every guy who's been in a slump breaks out against us. Every team that's in a slump breaks, you know, it goes Washington. On and on. But it's all between the ears, Bob Haney.
Real quick before we get to football here, Kapari in for Seldon Miguel, maybe switch it up a little bit in that starting lineup?
Yeah, I mean, Miguel has really been struggling the last three games. Yeah, last night they got off to that slow start, didn't score in 4 minutes. He hit that bucket. That was good. Oh, by the way, great job, Big Ten Network. We missed a quarter of the game last night on TV. Thanks for that godforsaken overtime.
You had to go to
Nebraska,
the app.
Iowa. I had to call up my college kids to figure out how to get on an app. But, Wait, what was your question?
Kapari in for Miguel.
Oh, Kapari is an intriguing cat. I love watching that guy play.
Athletic as hell.
Yeah, he runs. He kind of has a similar gait and looks like Terrence Morris a little bit. Now, is he as steady and does he have all the dots covered? You know, you see these glimpses of him. But, you know, DHS, he'd been coming on. Last night, that bonehead couldn't get through the screen. Now, I never complain about calls. That half court call, that guy was kind of moving on multiple screens at the end. The dude, Spicoli, who took 19 steps in the lane.
That was incredible. Barnheiser, yeah, that was traveling in any league.
Yeah, mullet or not. And then Gillespie on his third to last layup, he clearly got fouled. So there were some bad calls there last night. The one steadying influence, and he's off maligned, you know, Julian Reese for the last 10 days has been the one constant.
Yep.
You know, 10 of his first 10 free throws, some Hakeem-like moves and finishes last night. So props to him because, you know, there's times he can't even hit the rim on free throws. But this team has got to get it together. It all starts between the ears. Willard has got to get them ready. You know, you can win these gimmies at home, but right now we're getting close to that bubble range.
All right, Keith, what about the recruiting, the comings, the goings, the commits that may be visiting other places?
Football, we're talking about.
Yeah, you know, from St. Francis, I put that, you know, that early commit number one edge in the country. I put that at about 20-25%. That'll stick.
He's already lined. Yeah.
Money talks. Auburn.
Yeah, you know, and anytime you see, you know, if he came here, that'd be transcending the Terps.
Maybe he can go to the Jets with Locks.
Yeah, somebody's babbling.
Yeah. Oh my God! Don't even get me started on that. Is he interviewing tonight with the Cowboys? I don't know what's going on. But anytime you see a guy like that doing like 19 social media website interviews a day, talking already about Auburn and Alabama visits, you know, fresh off the committing to Maryland. Yeah, he's bounced around, you know, started at Joppatown at St. Francis now. Tremendous talent, you know, he's by Chop Robinson, but better. But, you know, they've got four commits already for 26, and three are from St. Francis, so you hope those stick. St. Francis got a bundle of guys already committed to Auburn for next year, so you hope they don't sway them. But the fact, you know, he's on board, he's trying to be a Pied Piper, and hopefully there's enough NIL money keep him on board here. We'll see, but it'll be a roller coaster ride for the next year. And then, of course, Zahir Mathis, the top unsigned 2025 player in the country out of Philly, he'll be visiting Maryland at the end of this month. It's a long shot. You know, I think he'll go to a national blue blood. But getting any guy like that on campus, he's one of the rare unsigned studs left in the 25 class. We'll sign in February. So, you know, trying to do what they can here. And I like G. Roy Simon, great Terp, hired to come back and be GM. I don't envy his job. He's going to have to negotiate with all these Terp athletes what their NIL package is going to get from that 20-plus million the schools are going to be divvying out. And now yesterday we hear Congress
in
line. Yeah, with Title IX, how you're going to pay a softball player $2 million a year and the quarterback $2 million a year. No disparaging softball, but that's another whole can of worms. So every time you turn around, there's more nuance. The NIL portal and so forth, it's madness. So I just like sitting down and enjoying games, unlike last night. But here's to Sunday, putting on a good show. Hopefully Chance Mallory has a great visit, but this team's got to get back to basketball IQ, team ball, not so much individualistic, ball dominant, one-on-one stuff. When they start slow and they can't finish, and you saw the mental gaffes last night. So KW's got to get these things cleaned up ASAP.
Keith Cavanaugh, TerrapinTimes.com. Keith, always appreciate the time. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll talk to you next Friday.
All right. And Bob, try not to hog the spotlight the entire segment. My God.
Jeez. I mean, have you taken a breath in the last 8 minutes, Cavanaugh? Keith, have a great weekend.
See ya.
Later. Yep. It's Keith Cavanaugh. We'll come back and not hog stuff. We'll get to you. You're definitely joining us, everybody, on the phone lines for news from the Nest, top of the hour. Jonas Schaefer both picked Buffalo. Looked like Vic Carucci was a strong lean in Buffalo's favor. Ryan Wilson picked Buffalo yesterday. Yeah. Yeah. We'll do our picks in a couple of hours. Maybe the purple Kool-Aid will be a little tastier than we've had so far this week. But let's bring Nolan in. Quick draw, how you feel?
I've considered picking the Bills. I'll just put it out there. Right. I'm not going to hide from it.
It's not a stupid selection, shall we say.
No, not at all. And I think, you know, you mentioned all the people that we've heard from this week. None of them have said, oh, the Bills are going to run away with it. I don't think anybody can in their right mind say that the Ravens are going to run away with it, even with that 35-10 game in mind from earlier this year. It's going to come down to mistakes. One of these two teams is going to flinch, right? Because everyone's building them up. They're both quarterbacks. They're perfect. They can't miss. They can't lose. They've had career years. They're the greatest thing since sliced bread. Well, one of them's going to have a misstep. It's just bound to happen. How big of a misstep? We'll see. Is it, you know, game-altering pick six? Or is it just something small here and there? Like you had a guy open and you just missed him. It's going to come down to that one moment. Could come down to the very last play of the game, a buzzer beater, for lack of a better term. Or maybe I'm still jaded by last night in Maryland. I don't know. My head's still spinning. I can't even formulate a coherent thought right now. The Terps, they got me all domed up here.
I think, Nolan, I think, you know, what you say is probably true. Penalties and turnovers, you know, in this type of game, that's going to be critical because penalties are really going to disrupt, you know, the offensive rhythm about, and it's going to affect third downs, you know, first and 15, first and 20. You know, it's not easy.
And I'm thinking back to the AFC Championship game last year, as close as that was, a hard-fought game, one possession game for most of the time. You know, penalties were very instrumental in that one, but not necessarily your typical game action. All right, you hold the guy here, whatever. It's heat of the moment. You messed up. Whatever. You keep playing. Some of the extracurriculars, can't see that. Now, I don't think there's any bad blood between the Ravens and Bills, but, you know, juices start flowing. It is hyped up as this main event on Sunday night. Who knows what the attitude's going to be, but I would hope that the veteran players, and really the entire locker room, because pretty much everyone in this locker room has been there before, show a little more composure. You know, no more of the taunting stuff like we saw last year. You can't shoot yourself in the foot.
Flowers had that gaff.
Yeah. Yep. The only one who fumbled. The guy who likes to talk the most to me is Marlon Humphrey. You know, that's who kind of the talker. But that was with Pittsburgh, and that's a different deal. Like you said, I don't think there's bad blood between Buffalo and the Ravens.
No.
Vinny at Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Funhouse or no?
Let's do it. Yeah.
Let's do it.
Quick Draws, Funhouse.
Josh Allen talks trash. You can get in your deal.
The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Well, people are coming out swinging here on the Terps. Eric in Bel Air says, why does this Terps team seem to have zero fire? The Ohio State game, they played full intensity start to finish, but since then, they've been sleepwalking. Julian Reese last night deserves to be roasted for not protecting that rebound at the end.
Yeah.
Also, getting hit with a 10-second call without being pressed. Right?
No pressure whatsoever.
Eric says, it's lazy and careless. This group of players seems like they don't care at times.
Well, they brought the smoke to Syracuse neutral site. They played against Villanova. They were engaged against Purdue and Oregon. But the two worst losses, the two games on the road they were favored to win, they were kind of, I don't want to say there was apathy, but other players, Ty Berry, for instance, he's been in a prolonged shooting slump. And in the first half especially, he looked like Steph Curry against me. And you knew Barnheiser wasn't going to suck three games in a row.
And when things start slipping for them, and Northwestern went on that initial run about halfway through the second half, you know, Willard calls a timeout, try to rally the troops. They come right back out of that timeout, and it's like there was no stoppage. You know, Northwestern immediately goes right back to going on that run, you know, hits a three in your face. So I don't know. Why is it just... When they leave their building?
I disagree with Keith, though. I don't think they're on the bubble. I think they've done enough at home and in neutral sites to keep them in that 8-9 range. But we keep hearing, not just locally, I mean, national pundits, this Maryland team's really good, and they do have the talent and athleticism to get it done. But you got to hold serve at home, but you got to break serve as we're watching the Australian Open on the road, or, you know, have fun playing the number one seed in the second round of the tournament if you get by in the first round.
To that point, we'll close with this text here. It says the Terps looks like they've got 9 quad one games on their schedule the rest of the way, but only 2 at home. Based on where UCLA has dropped, you could say they only have 1 quad one win at this point. This texter says he agrees with Keith outside looking in.
Disagreeing. Going to wait for Joe Lunardi. Not that he's the end-all, be-all. Certainly Jerry Palm there from CBS, he gets his thing going on. But the quad ones, the Ken Palm, Randy's, Maryland's still, what, top 10, top 15? So they built equity, but, you know, they need to stack, as they always say. We'll come back, take your phone calls at 410-583-1057. We'll count money, hopefully, at 1215 buy or sell. Tim Graham, wonder if he's picking the Bills because he covers them for The Athletic. He's at 1230.